Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone. It's Deborah, and I wanted to let you know that Lisa and I have had a great time scrolling through the super sweet comments that you've left us. Thank you for all of your kind words and really fun emojis. Now, we also have read a few comments asking where to find some of our past bonus episodes, like Wacky Khakis and Ask Lisa. Well, you will be happy to hear that this month we are bringing some of those episodes back for a limited time only. You can get all episodes of The Big Fib, including Wacky Khakis, Ask Lisa, and all classic Pants on Fire episodes ad-free with your GZM family and superfan subscription. Just go to gzmshows.com/subscribers to learn more. That's gzmshows.com/subscribers.
Hello, and welcome to a bonus Ask Lisa episode of The Big Fib. I'm your host, Deborah Goldstein, and by my side, as always, to answer your questions big and small, is our sound effects robot, Lisa, whose name stands for Live in Studio Audience.
Big and small, Deborah? What questions could our bright, curious listeners have for me that you could possibly regard as small?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
If anything, Deborah, I'm surprised at you for talking about our listeners in that way. I'm sure today's inquiries are all big in their own special way. There's no question too small for me to answer.
Okay, then. Let's play our first listener voicemail.
Dear Lisa, what do you eat? What do robots eat? Do you eat stuff like Robo Cantaloupe or electric cookies or something? I personally have no idea. And also, what do Robo bananas taste like? And Robo pickles. If it tastes good, I might try one because I do not like pickles. They might taste better than normal pickles. Sincerely, Nathan.
Aw, man. Really? Do I have to answer that one? I mean, I'm a fully sentient humanoid robot with a savant-like gift for sound effects. And all these kids care about is what I eat?
Lisa, you were just saying there's no question too small for you to answer.
When did I say that?
You just said it a minute ago.
There's no question too small for me to answer. Oh, that's not fair. You're always recording our conversations so you can throw them back in my face.
I record our conversations because our listeners want to hear about you, Lisa. And I, for one, think Nathan's question is a good one. We're often hearing about you eating machine oil and batteries and stuff like that. But then sometimes you also talk about eating candy and peanut butter and other human food. So tell us, what do robots eat?
I mean, robots don't need to eat anything, Deborah. We run on electricity, not biofuel like you people.
So why are you always eating on the show?
Deborah, when have I ever eaten on the show?
You did steal my french fries.
How can you say that? You have a mouthful of french fries right now.
All those delicious snails.
No. Did you just eat the toenail pie?
No.
I am missing my own french fries, though.
Oh, get over it.
Wow, Deborah. We really have to talk about you recording me without my permission.
Lisa, we host a podcast together. You know when you're being recorded.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, you're clearly eating something right now. What are you eating?
What? I'm not eating your Nutella. This is my Nutella. I found it near your cabinet.
Okay, forget for a minute that you stole that Nutella.
Found it.
Why do you eat chocolate spread if you don't need biofuel?
Because I like the taste, Deborah. Does anyone need fine wine? Does anyone need black truffles? Does anyone need copper wire ragu over creamy polenta?
Oh, I definitely don't need that last one.
For better or for worse, I have been programmed to enjoy the finer things in life. So excuse me if I indulge in the occasional AA battery dipped in rich, chocolatey found Nutella.
Wow. Well put, Lisa. You truly are a gourmand. So Back to Nathan's question. Do you eat robo-cantaloupe?
No.
Electric cookies?
Yeah, you bet.
Okay, how about robo-pickles?
Oh, yuck. Deborah, I don't know if you know this, but all pickles were once cucumbers. They try and trick you with their salty taste, but I'm on to your game, cukes.
Okay, I think I'm seeing a trend here. You like junk food and also things that you might find at a junkyard. And I'm guessing you don't eat any vegetables at all?
I mean, is pie a vegetable?
No. It can technically have vegetables in it, but...
Well, there you go. Then I do eat vegetables. Lemon meringue vegetables, Boston cream vegetables.
Lisa, just because a pie can have vegetables in it doesn't mean that Boston cream pie is a vegetable.
Fine.
Okay, so Nathan, to answer your question, it sounds like Lisa eats absolutely whatever he wants. And all while still being very healthy. Tell me, Lisa, what is your secret?
I cheat on my federal income taxes.
Oh boy, not that kind of secret. You know what? Never mind.
The big hands on Lisa!
Okay, folks, it's time for another round of Shorts on Lisa. In this lightning round of our show, our sound effects robot Lisa will...
Try on different pairs of shorts to see which ones look the most flattering?
No. That you can do on your own time. In Shorts on Lisa, you'll have to answer as many listener questions as you can before time runs out.
Oh, all right.
Cool. We will begin your timer now.
Hi, Lisa. I want to know what it's like to be a robot. Let me know.
It's like being a human, but 10,000 times better.
Do you like ninjas? I've always wondered that.
I love every ninja except for one of them. I will never tell you which one it is.
If you have any buttons, how many do you have?
After I molt, I have 35.
How do robots talk?
Robots talk like this.
What is the meaning of life?
Avoiding watching sports.
Is it fun having Deborah as a friend?
Oh, Deborah Goldstein? Yeah, it's fine.
And time. Well done, Lisa. It's fun having you as a friend as well. And now for our final question of the day, Lisa. You said you wanted a big question, and I think this is just about as big as they come.
Hi, my name is Jonah. I'd like to know how the Earth was created, and the rest of the universe too.
Jonah, that is a terrific question and a very provocative one at that.
Yeah, quit provoking us, Jonah.
No, I just mean that trying to wrap our heads around it really provokes the mind. Every culture, religion, and intellectual tradition the world over has some kind of scientific theory or origin myth to explain the creation of the world as we know it. From Adam and Eve to the Earth Diver to the Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yeah, I love the Big Bang Theory. I have, like, every season on DVD.
No, Lisa, not the TV show, the actual theory about the origin of the universe.
Doesn't ring a bell.
We tried to do an episode about this with a theoretical physicist, remember?
I mean, it sounds kind of familiar.
Lisa, how could you not remember Professor Bremer?
Maybe a flashback would help?
So 14 billion years ago, we have all the matter, you know, like all the stuff in the world in a tiny space, like 1,000 times smaller than the head of a pin, you know? It is the hottest, densest possible collection of things that has ever existed. And then all of a sudden, we have the Big Bang.
Oh yeah, I bet it sounded like this.
Bang! I'm so big, look at me!
Hey, get out of my way!
I'm expanding!
Watch it, buddy!
What? No, it did not sound like this.
Oh, Lisa's just providing some sound effects, Professor. It's kind of his thing.
Okay. Very funny.
Support for The Big Fib is brought to you by Pretty Litter. Full disclosure, I have a cat, and his name is Arlo, and I'm obsessed with him. And when Arlo is healthy, he's happy. And that makes me happy. But since I'm not a mind reader, I don't always know when he needs a trip to the vet. Helping me keep tabs on my cat's health is just one reason why I use Pretty Litter. And I kid you not, before we got this sponsor, I was already using Pretty Litter for 2 years. And it's great! Its ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly, its super light base minimizes mess and dust, and Pretty Litter ships free right to my door in a small, lightweight bag. But here's how Pretty Litter helps me with my cat's health. It changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in my cat, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues. Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on my cat's health and keeps odors down. I swear, you and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as me and Arlo do. Go to prettylitter.com/BigFib and use code BigFib to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/BigFib, code BigFib to save 20%. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So yes, we have this extremely rapid expansion of the universe, all in less than 1/1,000,000th of 1 second. We have space pushing out in all directions. And at this point, of course, all is rapidly cooling down. There's this misconception that the Big Bang is an explosion of matter into space, but really what we are talking about here is the stretching out of space itself. Right. Stretching. Very good.
Maybe they should call it the Big Stretch, am I right?
Maybe.
Because, you know, I've been thinking lately, the Big Bang is really less an explosion of matter into space, and it's more of the stretching out of space itself. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, this is exactly what I just said.
I think Lisa's just teasing you, Professor. Don't take it personally. He does it to everyone.
Okay. So, where was I now?
You were telling us about the Big Stretch.
No, it's not called this.
Professor, I have a question. So, is this how the Earth came about and the first plants and animals and everything?
Ah, yes. This is a great question.
Great question, Deborah.
So, this is not when we get the Earth. We are pretty sure the Earth came about 4.6 billion years ago. And for the first 600 million years, there was no life on Earth. At that point, all we have is the primordial soup.
Ooh, primordial soup. What's that?
Primordial means what existed at the very beginning. So the primordial soup is what we call the conditions of Earth before there was any life. So imagine all the molecules on Earth having almost no complexity at all. They are in essence very simple.
Hey, who are you calling simple?
The primordial soup. Keep up, Lisa.
Yes, so we can, in the laboratory, recreate these simple molecules. And when we expose them to electricity, we see how they become complex polymers. In other words, the very building blocks of life.
Wow, how interesting, Professor.
And I have, in fact, brought this experiment into the studio today that we can all see it together.
Ooh, you brought primordial soup?
I brought primordial soup, yes.
Wow, how exciting. Tell us, what is in the primordial soup?
Right, so this soup contains water.
All soup has water, dude.
True. So, yes, water, methane, ammonia, hydrogen, and carbon dioxide.
Ooh, that sounds like some terrible soup.
Oh, it's not so bad. I thought it had a pretty nice texture. Although it could use some pepper.
You ate the soup?
Oh, I think he's just messing with you, Professor.
Wait a minute. The container is empty. He ate the soup.
I'm sorry, but you should really have put your name on it.
Lisa, you actually ate the primordial soup?
I was hungry.
You were hungry?
I mean, there really wasn't that much, Professor. Ever heard of bringing enough for everyone to share?
It wasn't meant to be eaten at all.
Well, I mean, if you didn't want me to eat it, you should have brought a primordial salad. I wouldn't have touched that.
But it's not a real soup. It's the theoretical conditions of life on Earth over 4.6 billion years ago.
Uh-huh. I thought you said there was no life on Earth 4.6 billion years ago.
Oh, so now you are listening.
Oh, Professor, please. This is all just one big misunderstanding.
Oh, I understand perfectly well. You brought me on this show to make a mockery of my life's work.
No. We brought you on to do a podcast. Making a mockery of your life's work was just part of the fun.
That's it. I am done here.
Wait, Professor, one more thing.
What?
You didn't happen to bring any primordial crackers to go with the primordial soup, did you? Or maybe some primordial croutons? It just is kind of primordially bland. Oh yeah, now I remember that guy. I forgot, was he the expert or the liar?
He was the expert, Lisa. But of course we had to can the episode since you made him so angry that he refused to finish the game.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's going to happen every now and then. Really not much you can do about it, Deborah.
Anyway, it's interesting. This episode began with Nathan's question about what you eat, and it ended with Jonah's question about the origins of life, and the answer to both is the same. Primordial soup.
Life is funny that way, huh?
Well, speaking of life, since you did eat the primordial soup, which was the very environment that created life on Earth, do you think it's possible that microscopic life forms have developed inside your body?
Oh, it's more than possible. They've created a whole intelligent society down in there. They even have their own podcasts.
Live from the cradle of life itself, it's the Primordial Fib! And now, your host, the super intelligent life form. At least she says she's super intelligent.
Hey!
Zargle29845!
Welcome to the Primordial Fib, the game show where kids choose between the biodiverse ecosystem of truth and the barren dystopian wasteland of lies. I'm your host, Zargle29845, and with me is our sound effects organism, the unicellular and multi-talented Lisa, whose name stands for Living Autochthonous Single-Celled Amoeba.
Thank you, Zargle.
Hey, those primitive life forms ripped off our podcast.
Well, that's going to happen every now and then. Really not much you can do about it.
All right, well, we've been to some very, very strange places in this Ask Lisa episode, and I think it's as good a time as any to wrap it up. Thank you, as always, to our sound effects robot, Lisa, for taking our questions big and small, to our loyal listeners for sending them in, and to the rapidly evolving biosphere living inside of Lisa for, I guess, liking our podcast enough to rip it off in your own microscopic world, and our apologies to Professor Bremer for eating your primordial soup and making a mockery of your life's work. If you're listening to this, Professor, please come back to study what's going on inside of Lisa.
And consider bringing a primordial sandwich this time. The Big Fib is a production of Gen Z Media. You can find us online at gzmshows.com. There you can find more great shows, find out how you can participate, and submit questions for me to read on Ask Lisa. And follow us on social media at The Big Fib Podcast for behind-the-scenes photos and more true soup!
Find your next adventure at gzmshows.com.
Shh, it's starting.
GZM Shows. Imagination amplified.
Talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Autumn.
And I'm Jasper.
And we're a GZM family. And we want you to listen to our favorite show, Becoming Mother Nature.
I love the one with the Green Reaper and the zombies.
Do you want to hear your family at the end of a show giving a shout-out? Go to gzmshows.com/shout-out to learn more. That's gzmshows.com/shout-out for a chance to be heard on this show.